You're listening to a podcast from Cancer.net, the cancer information website of the American Society of Clinical Oncology, known as ASCO. ASCO is the world's leading professional organization for doctors that care for people with cancer. This podcast is part of a series of patient advocate guest podcasts launched as a forum for patient advocates to address a topic, issue, or trend within the cancer community through Cancer.net. The ideas and opinions expressed by the speaker and organization in this patient advocate guest podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Society of Clinical Oncology, ASCO. The mention of any product, service, organization, activity, or therapy in this podcast should not be construed as an ASCO endorsement. The information presented does not constitute medical or legal advice and is not intended for use in the diagnosis or treatment of individual conditions or as a substitute for consultation with a licensed medical professional. ASCO assumes no responsibility for any injury or damage to persons or property arising out of or related to the information presented. Today's podcast will be led by Selma Schimmel, founder and CEO of Vital Options International and host of The Group Room, a weekly cancer talk radio show. She founded Vital Options 25 years ago, and she will discuss how patient and survivor communications have evolved over that time period. ASCO would like to thank Ms. Schimmel for taking the time to speak with us.
I think one of the really significant changes that's happened is in the area of communication to patients and to anyone who's trying to understand more about cancer, because we have a challenge getting society and technology on the same page. So much has changed. In the old days, you'd think about cancer in terms of cytotoxic agents, chemotherapy, and then just trying to manage side effects. But today, technology is turning a conversation around to discuss predictive technologies, molecular and biologic agents, and the shotgun approach of cancer treatment that attacks the whole body will hopefully vanish into our history as we gain momentum and look at the scientific advances and our ability to understand the individual characteristics and molecular and biologic pathways of cancer. And emerging technologies are really putting personalized therapies and personalized medicine to the forefront. And by virtue of this, the communications that were used in the past to talk to patients have to be refined. Also, doctors are requiring a different education to enhance their skills in communicating biomedical advances to patients. So while in the days of Vital Options, and especially when the radio show, The Group Room, began, there was so much discussion about, you know, psychosocial support and, you know, just managing side effects of treatment, that has really transformed into far more sophisticated discussions as people are needing to understand what are the questions I have to ask my doctor. And what is a genomic assay, and what do I need to know about refined imaging and diagnostics? And suddenly words like pharmacogenomics hitting the public. And with all of these advances, what concerns me is that the ability to help consumers understand technology is lagging behind a little bit. And until cancer really hits you, you may not take the time to be learning all of this transformative shift that's happening in oncology, but now is the time, because I believe also it's going to be imperative in helping patients enroll in clinical trials and understanding the speed at which research is happening and the involvement that's required. So an area of real interest for me is in the diagnostic technology area and refined predictive and prognostic biomarkers, also biospecimen collection and tissue banking, and wider adaptation of molecular pathology. And I think these are areas that patients are going to have a very important role in driving forward new technology. You know, I can recall in 1998, there was a very important dramatic shift in the dialogue on the air, because up until that point, as I mentioned, we had been very much focused on psychosocial. It's one of the reasons the show was called The Group Room, because we started as a support group on the air. But then when the news hit the press from Dr. Judah Folkman and the area of angiogenesis, with, you know, predictions that cancer would be cured in 2 years. It really created a whole different discussion on the air. And I noticed thereafter the kinds of questions that the public started to bring to the program had also changed. And I thought, gee, we are really watching a new clinical era unfold on the air. So going forward from there, and where so much has happened that, you know, I don't need to reiterate now, but we're all aware of the tremendous advances in the area of personalized medicine, because oncology really is leading the way in this area. Survivorship has also taken on a new face. And today, the way we coexist with cancer is so very different. When I was diagnosed the first time 25 years ago, the idea of living with cancer as a chronic disease had not yet really become as common as it is today. Many people live with cancer as they do with other chronic illnesses. And the essence of survivorship has also transformed, because we're looking at survivorship in ways that we are actually dedicating areas of medical specialty to the quality of our lives and looking at long-term effects. And as Dr. Patty Gans has spoken about, you know, what are these teachable moments and what do we do to follow the care once you have finished cancer treatment? What happens to you then? And it's a beginning of a whole new clinical cycle in our lives as survival, as we focus on not only understanding the long-term medical effects, but the social consequences of cancer treatment and how we can follow our bodies to see, gee, did any of the cancer therapy I took as I get older have any long-term consequences on the rest of my health? It's very easy for us to get lost in our cancer and forget that we still have to stay on top of our cardiovascular health and get screened for other diseases and stay on top of our internal medicine needs beyond cancer. And there's another area that's really quite important, and that is the shift in responsibility that is hitting the medical consumer and their loved ones. Innovative oral compounds, oral therapies that are now being used in cancer require patients to stay on top of their care. We've got issues regarding compliance and adherence, and I worry sometimes that cancer patients may feel, well, if I'm not going to my doctor's office for treatment, then it may not be quite as serious. And so the responsibility of patients to really now stay on top of their medications, taking them at the right time, filling their prescriptions correctly, a lot more trust and responsibility is being put on the patient that if the doctor says, here, you need to take this drug, that you are taking your therapy at home. I'm also very happy in closing to just reflect on being that Vital Options was founded as the first organization for young adults with cancer way back in 1983 when I was in my 20s with breast cancer, that today, all these years later, that there is a new refined focus on young adults, that we're looking on young adults with the need of a clinical specialty and carving out a niche within medical oncology of young adult oncology, that there is now a very, very focused movement on behalf through the Live Strong Young Adult Alliance, of which Vital Options is a very proud member of the steering committee for this, that my roots and my passion as a young adult survivor and where Vital Options began, that we are still a part of the young adult movement and that young adults with cancer have forged forward, and it's just a very special patient population of which Vital Options remains very committed to.
Thank you, Ms. Schimmel. For details about Vital Options or the group room, visit www.vitaloptions.com. More information about patient advocacy and this podcast's accompanying patient advocate guest column can be found at www.cancer.net. Thank you for listening to this Cancer.net podcast.